Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Top Advisor Marketing Radio. My name is Matt Halloran, the voice of Top Advisor Marketing, and I am joined today by Robert Sophia, the CEO of Snappy Kraken. He builds automated marketing programs that help financial services companies grow. Now, I have been following Robert Sophia since season one of Practice Makeover on Investment News. So he has been a thought leader in our industry for a very, very long time. I am honored that he is on our show and a guest today. Robert, thank you very much for joining us.
Matt, I'm pumped to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, for those of you who have not seen season one of Practice Makeover, please, well, we'll make sure it gets in the show notes, but you need to see Robert live in action. It really is something to behold. And you've been working with advisors for a long time, but let's talk about your overall experience in working in financial services.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm a marketing guy. I mean, I go way back, Matt, in my career. My first job was a marketing job. So really 18 years I've been in marketing. Most people can't believe that. And I transitioned to financial services about 5 years into my career, started working at a billion-dollar independent RIA firm as their VP of marketing. So got out of school, worked at Ford Motor Company in marketing, and then I got recruited over to this RIA. And I felt like I'd found a home. I mean, I love financial services. I love what we do. I love that we serve people. I love that the things that we do can really impact somebody's quality of life, and I still get to have fun with marketing. And so I've basically been doing marketing in this industry now for about 13 years. And I went from that firm to started another firm from the ground up, brought it from about $125 million to about $700 million in AUM in under 3 years, huge growth. And then we decided to start selling that. So we started selling that template. That was a company called Platinum Advisor Strategies. I used to run that company. And in April of 2016, my partners and I decided to go different directions, and I started Snappy Kraken. Mm-hmm. So now I've been working on this platform since about April, May of 2016, and we're getting some good traction. So trying to automate more of the business.
Well, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a second. But Robert, marketing in our industry is really difficult. How have you found so much success in creating marketing things that compliance will approve and advisors will like to use?
Well, I mean, first of all, you can't build marketing thinking about compliance. Like that's a huge mistake that so many companies in our space make. They go into it thinking about compliance first. And so what you end up with is this really dry, kind of stale, watered down marketing. So what I do is I build marketing first, and I build in all the hype and all the fun and all the coolness that I can. And then I let compliance dial it back. And when compliance dials it back and I think they're dialing it back too far, I push back. Mm-hmm. And so that's always been my MO. And I think the other piece of it is that you start with the end client in mind. So you have to think like a consumer. You have to say, okay, you know, why am I doing this? And if I am a typical middle America potential investor, what do I care about? And what do I like to read? And what do I like to do? And you work backwards from there. So I don't build marketing for advisors. I build marketing for their clients. And if advisors know their clients, mm-hmm. then they'll like the marketing we create.
Man, we're 3 minutes into the podcast, and you just gave us a huge gold nugget there. And I want to repeat that, everybody, because what Robert just said there is he's not creating marketing with compliance in mind. He starts with just marketing. Guys, that's so flippin' important. Because so many of you, it's like you've lost the race before you even started it. So, man, Robert, thank you so much for that. Now, let's talk about Snappy Kraken. What is it? Where'd the name come from? And what do you do for our industry?
Yeah, that's like a 30-minute rant if I start with answering all those questions. So I'm gonna try to keep this brief. So Snappy Kraken's goal, our vision, is to automate everything about a financial advisor's business, except for what they do best, which is meeting with clients and doing that by phone or face-to-face or over video. Everything else can be automated. So we're automating all the prospecting. We're bringing all the leads in. We're nurturing all the leads. We're converting them to appointments. And when there's a butt in the chair, that's when the advisor takes over. And then on the back end, we want to automate everything about the client's experience. So when a client turns 69 and a half, the CRM knows it. Let's automatically launch a campaign to them that's going to help them think about reinvesting RMDs and get them ready for 70 and a half, right? Or every time you get a new prospect, what do you want them to do? What's the path you want them to follow? And so we're building all of that content, all of those marketing campaigns, all of that automation. We're integrating with key CRMs, and we're basically creating the bionic advisor. So there's robo-advisors, and then there's, you know, flesh and blood advisors. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to create the bionic advisor. So they have everything automated except what really counts, the personal touch. And that's our vision, and we're working toward it. We launched an alpha version of our platform in September of last year. Mm-hmm. At XYPN, at their FinTech Startup Competition. We won first place.
Yeah, you won. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It was got us some good attention. We got some nice enterprise accounts, and we've been gathering feedback from our users, and we're writing thousands of lines of code every week. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be launching the pre-launch version next month in February. So that's it, man. We're starting small, automating little pieces of the business, and eventually we're going to automate everything that you can't do today.
That's unbelievable. So let's get to know you a little bit better, because you have such an amazing online presence. I think there's a lot of things that people can glean from your marketing and thought leadership that you've had over the last 10 plus years now in financial services. But I think it's important for people to get to know you as a core human being. So let's start off with, you know, the 30,000 foot view of what are your goals? What kind of do you want to be when you grow up?
Man, you know, I feel like I'm growing up too fast. I want to stay a kid. I mean, that's what I really want to do, Matt. I want to have fun.
Good.
And so I don't do things with the end in mind. I really try to enjoy the journey. And I do have goals. I mean, I have personal goals, you know, of things that I want to read and places I want to go and things I want to do. And I have business goals that I want to accomplish in 2017. And, you know, I have a vision for the future. But I really just want to be happy doing what I'm doing. And that's one of the reasons I'm doing Snappy Kraken. I mean, it's why I have a squid with sunglasses as my logo, because it's just fun and I want to have fun. So when people say, what are your goals? Mm-hmm. My goal is to enjoy life and to have the freedoms to enjoy the things that I enjoy, to be with the people that I love, to do the things that I care about. And to me, that's success.
Well, and so you just answered the next question. So I'm going to turn the next question on its head a little bit, because the question was, what does success look like to you? And you just did a great job of answering that. But when you think about success, who's your hero? Like, who do you look up to and say, man, I want to be like that person?
You know, these are really interesting questions. But I don't think like most people, Matt. I don't admire most business people in a way that makes me want to be them.
Okay.
Or want to be like them. What I do is I appreciate different things about lots of people. For example, I love your enthusiasm and positivity. So do I want to be positive, enthusiastic like Matt Halloran? Yes, I do. Do I really appreciate the drive and the charisma of certain business leaders and want to be like that? Yes. Do I admire the philanthropy that some entrepreneurs spend time focusing on? Yes. Do I want to do that? So these are all things that I love about certain people and I try to emulate. But there's no picture of success for me other than what I just described to you.
Well, that's fantastic, because I think that having a hero or one singular person that you look up to can end up being detrimental, because I think you're limiting yourself when it comes to that. And this has happened to me in my life, and it might have happened in yours. But when you do put somebody on such a pedestal and then they fail, which of course all of us do as human beings, then you're kind of lost. You know, you're like, oh my God, I really looked up to that person and, you know, they kind of stink. So I think that's great and good advice for everybody. If you can find little bits and pieces in lots of people, then you're really going to have an opportunity to grow exponentially instead of just singularly focusing on somebody directly as a hero. When you're looking at a go-to thing. When somebody says to you, Robert, what is the book that you hand out the most, or the piece of technology that you recommend the most, or the podcast, the TED Talk, what is your go-to resource to help clients or friends of yours?
Okay, so this is actually pretty simple, and it's one book, and I absolutely live by it, and I recommend it to everyone. And I know a lot of people like Simon Sinek, but it's not Start With Why. The book that I really love is Leaders Eat Last.
Yeah.
And that is, to me, the definition of true leadership. And I believe in our industry, and so we're keeping it to our industry for now, the advisors I talk to, many of them, they function like solo practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
And everything relies upon them, and they struggle with delegation, and they don't all know how to be good leaders. And so I find if you can teach somebody how to lead, then you really help them succeed. And for me, in my own life, the only way I can have the freedoms to enjoy the things I want to do and to build the business I want to build is by being a good leader. And so I've always worked really hard to put other people ahead of myself, to lead from behind. And when it comes to other leaders and people I talk to, I encourage them, do the same thing. Read this book. Understand your position as a servant leader. And help other people succeed, and your own success will follow. And so the principles in that book are very powerful. I believe them 100%. And you know, that's something that affects every area of your life. It affects whatever you're doing in business and in life. So I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah. So when you're talking about life lessons, and I really agree with you, I think most advisors are terrible leaders. I think some of the things that make advisors great at their job don't necessarily make them great at HR, management, marketing, and all of those things. If there was one lesson that you wish advisors would learn, what lesson would you want them to learn?
That they need to provide a truly consistent experience across every channel and every interaction with every client and every prospect 100% of the time.
Hmm.
And this is the reason. Today's consumers, they have come to expect consistency from the brands they engage with. And I illustrate it this way. I say, if you, as an advisor, you walk into the grocery store, you're just doing your weekly shopping, and you go to the aisle where the soft drinks are, and half of the Coke bottles are blue. And instead of that scrolly Coke logo, there's a block font on them. And it would confuse you. It might even scare you away from the product. It might even make you choose another brand. Because as humans, we're wired to love consistency, because being consistent makes it easier to make decisions, because you don't have to think about those decisions. And where a lot of advisors cripple themselves in their marketing is they hack it together. They take, you know, a website widget from over here, or a template from over here, and they take a newsletter from over here and a video from over here, and they just put all this stuff on their website, and they tweet all this random stuff, and then people come in their office and they've got random procedures from all different places and checklists from different places. And they have materials they've created themselves and others that are professionally done, and nothing is consistent. And that shuts people down on a subconscious level. And if you can remove all those objections by having this flowing experience through everything you do, the way you answer the phone, the way you dress, the way your lobby looks, the way you communicate, the way you are on social and on the web, if all of that is cohesive, it builds trust, and it causes people to flock to you for that experience. It's the whole, you know, Disney mantra. Everything that they do, you get an experience from that. And if advisors would think about their business that way and say, does every one of these little pieces line up and create the right experience for my clients? And when it does, business will happen automatically.
So many advisors hang their hats on things that they can't control, such as performance, market performance, and things like that. And what I'm hearing you say is all of the other stuff is more important, because they want that level of consistency overall. And in fact, they might even try new things, like when you use the Coca-Cola example. You know, a lot of people tried new Coke, right? Wasn't it called New Coke at one point? Anyway, but if they were already loyal to the brand, there's opportunities for you to expand that brand, but you have to get that brand loyalty. And also what I'm hearing, and please correct me if I'm wrong, the consistent aspect of what you're talking about is, and I've been coaching for years, as you know, that inconsistency kills their business, that in execution. But you're creating a product that is going to help plug and play some of that consistency so that they don't have to worry about that. Or did I totally miss the point of Snappy Kraken?
No, that's why we're building Snappy Kraken. I mean, I spent a long time, 7 years actually, working with over 2,000 advisors in my last business at Platinum. And I face the same thing you face. You know, there's those inconsistencies. And no matter how many things I would give them, how many tools or how many ideas, and I would say, okay, do this, they couldn't execute. And so finally, I realized the only way this is going to happen is if I just make it happen automatically. I need to take it off of their plate, let them focus on what they can focus on, and I need to do it all for them. And technology makes that possible.
Absolutely. Today. Absolutely. Well, I'm hoping that Snappy Kraken it becomes a billion-dollar company at some point. But right now, I'm going to wave my magic wand, and I'm going to give you $1 billion. So, Robert, you've just been gifted all of the money that you really could probably ever need in your life. What would you do differently?
You know, Matt, I already have $1 billion, so I guess nothing would change.
Wow, good for you, man.
No. That is a very hard question to answer because I don't see myself having $1 billion, and it's pie in the sky. But I will attempt it. I would spend a lot more time in helping other people and organizations, and less time on building my own business. As much as I love what I'm doing, and I get to help people by doing it. I would love to mentor more. I would love to volunteer more. I would love to spend more time helping the community and other people. So that would give me some more time to do those things. I do what I can, but not as much as I'd like.
Okay. If you could choose one superpower, what would it be?
A what power?
A superpower, like flight or X-ray vision or swimming without having to breathe, things like that.
Come on, Matt. You think anybody actually cares about this?
I care about this. And you know what? This is one of those questions. I'm so glad that you brought that up. This is one of those questions that really gives people insight to who you are. I've had people who are afraid to answer this question. So come on, dude. What would you want to do? Would you want to fly? Would you want to read minds, control fishes? What would you want to do?
Yeah, no, that's no question at all. I would want to fly. And I'd want to be able to fly really fast.
Awesome.
I was a big Superman fan as a kid. That's always been a dream of mine.
I was just watching a video of these jet packs in Dubai. Have you seen those yet?
No.
Oh my gosh, you have to YouTube and
I'll
check.
I'll be looking it up as soon as we get done here.
Jetpack Dubai is all you have to. Okay, so music. You know, I know a lot of us recharge our batteries with music. And who is your go-to artist or your favorite musical artist? And then tell us why.
So music for me is conditional to what I'm doing. So if I'm driving along A1A, so I live in Florida, along the beach with the top down, I'm listening to one kind of music. If I'm on the boat, it's another kind of music. If I'm cooking, it's another kind of music. If I'm working, it's another kind of music. And my musical tastes are diverse. So like today, I listened to Tommy Emmanuel this morning while I was warming up, and then I listened to Flume in the afternoon. So that's like fingerstyle guitar and then, you know, electronica. I like a lot of alternative rock, Death Cab for Cutie, stuff like that. And I like classic rock too. I grew up being a big Pink Floyd fan. In fact, my first concert was I saw Pink Floyd in concert. Anyway, that's, you know, my musical taste is all over the place.
All right. Well, I like that you have different music for different levels of concentration. I do the same thing. And in fact, I think a lot of people do who have a diverse musical taste. You know, if I'm exercising, I'm listening to something. You know, if I'm writing, I'm listening to something. So I that was a very, very good answer. I appreciate that. So you said that you liked Superman as a kid. When you were a kid, and think back, since you actually are purposely trying not to grow up, which I totally appreciate, Back then, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a person who others admired. So I grew up in a family with some challenges. I was picked on a lot at school. I didn't have a lot of friends. And I really just had some issues, you know, because of that. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, I want to be successful. I want other people to look up to me. And, you know, I've worked hard to be that kind of person, just be someone who others can trust and respect, and, you know, to build something for myself, to provide a level of security for my family and the people I care about.
Well, I have to say that you have done that in my eyes. You have been incredibly successful with being somebody that is well-respected within our industry. Many, many people talk very favorably about the impact that you've had. And I think a lot of people are really excited about what's going on with Snappy Kraken, because you have always been on the leading edge of really, truly trying to change our industry. And it sounds to me like you're doing it again. So I want to thank you personally, because you are somebody that I admire a lot.
Well, thank you, Matt. I feel the same about you. And this has been so much fun. Thanks for having me on this.
Well, you're welcome. You're not off the hook yet, buddy, because I've got one more tough question for you, and then we're going to wrap it up, which is, what was your biggest failure? And when you got back up, what did you learn from it?
Oh, man. Okay. So we got to be just really candid here, I guess. So I can't sugarcoat this one. So, my biggest failure was choosing the wrong business partners. So at one point in my life, I won't say with who or when, but I went into business with some people that didn't have the same values I had. And it made life very difficult. And when that finally ended, the decision that I made was I was never going to do business again with people who did not share my values in the way they lead, in the way they view clients, in the way they view others, and surround myself with people that I like to do business with and that I want to do business with and that I can see myself being friends with. Mm-hmm. And that was a powerful lesson. It was an expensive lesson, and it's a lesson that will stick with me for the rest of my life.
Well, it sure does sound to me, and I'm sure to our listeners, that you've bounced back amazingly from that lesson. So you're about to launch some stuff. So let's get down into the weeds here. Tell us about how people can get involved with Snappy Kraken. How can they, can they sign up? Where can people find out information? Help us with that, please.
Yeah, so our website is snappykraken.com. And you can't spell it wrong because I own every possible spelling, but it's Snappy Kraken, K-R-A-K-E-N,
.com.
And if you go there, you can request an invite. So we've already had an overwhelming response. We have thousands of users waiting to use the system. So we're actually doing a pre-launch in February, mm-hmm. And we're giving our enterprise pricing to all of our retail users on the waiting list. So people can get in, they can test our MVP, try it out really cheap, and give us their feedback. So we're looking for people who are power users, people who want to try something and then say what they like and don't like and help us build and refine it. So we're going to be phasing users in gradually. So if you're interested in this type of thing, go to Snappy Kraken, request an invite, and then at some point in the near future, not only will we keep in touch with you, but we'll send you an invitation to try out the system.
Okay. And we'll make sure we have all of that information in our show notes so that people can click on that pretty quickly. Now, you exist on social media, and you're on pretty much everything. Is there a preferred social media that if people want to follow your thought leadership or connect with you directly that they should look for?
Yeah, I love LinkedIn. I mean, I'm on Twitter, too, and you can get me on Instagram and Facebook and all that. But, LinkedIn for professionals – and, you know, for messaging and just keeping in touch, I'd like to have people truly in my network. If you do connect with me on LinkedIn, though, expect that if I don't know you, I'm going to respond and I'm going to ask who you are and I'm going to want to get to know you. So, mm-hmm. But that is my preference because I really like to keep in touch with people that way.
Well, and I'm so glad that there are more and more people who are taking that next step. It's something that has always amazed me, Robert, when I try to connect with somebody, when somebody connects with me and I say, hey, I'd like to do a 15-minute phone call to find out more about who you are, because LinkedIn is for connecting, for business. And, no, I don't do that. Like, really? Are you serious? So you get a 15-minute commercial with me and you don't want to have that? All right, well, then I'm not going to accept your invitation. So, yeah. I'm right there with you. And in fact, I'm trying to remember how that's actually how you and I connected many years ago, is I reached out to you after I had left my previous company, just because I wanted to chat with you about what you were doing at then Platinum. And you said, yes, I would like to do. And I think we had like a 30-minute phone call. Now, that was a number of years ago, but, I don't think I've actually ever met you in person.
No, you're right, Matt. We've been in touch ever since because of that. That's right.
And like, but you know, every 3 or 4 months, each of us will just, you know, hey, what's going on? Tell me what you're doing. Because honestly, I want to know what you're doing. Because hey, I'm not kidding about you being on the leading edge of stuff. And I know you have the ear of a lot of people. And I've even bounced ideas off of you that you said weren't good ideas. And guess what, man? I didn't go full force with them because I really did take your advice. You and a number of other people told me the same thing. And I'm like, okay, well, these people are smart. I'm going to just back off. All right. Is there anything that you want to add to our audience before we wrap today up?
I just want to say thank you for teaching me how fun and easy it can be to podcast.
Yeah.
I want to do more of this. Well, so this is great. And you might have just helped me by getting me to do this. So thank you.
You're very, very welcome. And, you know, today's podcast is brought to you, as always, by Advisor Content X. If you want to know more, please go ahead and just check us out on the web. And please go to snappykraken.com. Find out what Robert Sophia is doing, the CEO of Snappy Kraken, because when they build these automated marketing programs that help financial services companies grow, proof's in the pudding. He's done it before and he can do it for you. So thank you very much. And we'll see you on the other side of the mic.